I'm going to invite you guys back up one more time. Old school guys are like, oh man, no, you're stuck. Well, they can move. Because we got the Born Chuggers are all downstairs, aren't they? We got all dudes up here. Mostly. Soon to be dudes. So as Ryan had shared, and as Joe had shared, today is about love. So I want you guys to be thinking about that as we continue reading from last week in Luke chapter 2, and be thinking about the amount of love that went into God's gift to us. And we'll just hit a couple questions there, all right? Embarrass you guys one last time. You've been pretty awesome, but then you did a dancing frog on me last week. You're not old enough to know the Dancing Frog. Brian, you know the Dancing Frog. Old Bugs Bunny cartoon? The guy had the frog and... Yeah, he wouldn't do anything. Yeah, hello. Yeah, yeah. So, the alien. Wasn't that the same song when the Spaceballs, the alien spoof? And that, anyway. I think it was. Hello, baby. Yeah. All right, back to focus. So God's love. And we continue from last week where we left off. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. And this is our verse that we focused on last week. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, God could have wiped out the whole earth and started all over again, couldn't he? Like, just, he did it one time with the flood. He could have done it again. He could have said, all right, take three. Psst. Right? But he didn't, did he? He chose Jesus to sacrifice for us. What does this tell us about God?
Create a relationship with us.
Okay.
And so he'll send his own son to be sacrificed for that.
It matters that much to him?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Other ideas? Yeah.
He's really willing to do anything for us. He sent his only son when he could have just destroyed the entire world and kept his son for himself, but he didn't. He sent it down to help cleanse the world, not by destruction, but by love.
Wow. That's awesome. Like, we can't top that one. Let me get back to the other. So how does the birth of Jesus show God's love? I mean, we kind of hit that a little bit here. Any additions to that? He's not willing to hold back anything. That it was a decision. Those are big points that we've already hit. Any extra ones? Nothing else comes to mind? Oh, that was good. Catch that on the mic.
I guess he's just like willing to give second chances. He doesn't just give you one chance and just say, no, that's not what I wanted you to do, and then just get rid of you. I guess he's just willing to say, all right, not exactly what I was looking for, but we'll give you a second chance, I guess. I mean, We got a lot of those.
That's an awesome, awesome point. Yeah, his love is makes him a God of second chances. That's super, super awesome. In what ways can we allow God's love to pour out of us into others? Reflect on his love to us. How can we reflect that out? What are some things we can do?
Forgiving people just like God forgave us.
Yeah, it's not so easy, is it? Yeah. Yeah.
Giving back to other people and like respecting them and helping them have a good day or good week or something.
Yeah, giving back to other people. No, that's awesome. Service. That communicates. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Jesus came and he was a servant of all. And he washed the disciples' feet before he left. And he said, this is my example. You go and do this to other people. So, yeah, absolutely. Give these guys a hand. My goodness. Fourth quarter. Third quarter wasn't so great. Fourth quarter, you guys came back and killed it. You guys can go back and have a seat. First through fifth can go downstairs, but we don't have first through fifth. Any of these guys, it's, I think he would be the only one. He's going downstairs with the rest of them. I have a mic still. So he loved first. He loved first. Told in Ephesians that for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And that feels good. God chose us. God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. He chose us. He loved first. Romans 5 says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even in our worst state, God still sent Jesus to earth. He loved first. Rarely will anyone die for a really awesome person. It's even more rare to see someone die for someone that's just, they're just a good, they're all right, they're... But what does Paul say here? He says, God demonstrated his love in this, that even when we were in our worst state, even when we were not even a good person on the, well, he's a good person. People say that. Well, he's a good person. Even when we weren't even, that couldn't have even been said about us. When we were still chasing after those things that were against God's holy nature, while we were pointed in the opposite direction of God, even then, God loved first. And he sent Jesus. Titus 3 says, but when the kindness and what? Love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God loved first. God loved first. We didn't do anything as a catalyst. We didn't do something that he responded to or he reacted to. We didn't do something to impress him. We didn't do something to instigate this. We didn't do something that, to inspire him. I think I want to send Jesus. Those guys are just great people. No. It wasn't because of anything we did. It was because of his great mercy that he sent his son. It was God's decision to love us first. It wasn't anything that we did. It, 1 John chapter 3, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called what? Children of God. And that is what we are. And because God's love, because he loved first, we're allowed to be called God's children. That's pretty stinking awesome. We're all just sitting here kind of stoic on that. I wanted that to really sink in this morning. If you're in Christ today, you're a child of God. That's awesome. That's awesome news. Good news. It will bring great joy. We talked about the joy last week. He chose us even before the creation of time. He chose to love first. He decided to demonstrate his love for us even when we were enemies of his. He decided to love first. He decided to save us out of his mercy, not because of anything we did to deserve it. He made the first move. He made the first action. He made the first decision. And that's why we get to be called children of God. That's super cool. Let's write this down. He loved first. Love shares a view of value placed on others. Love shares a view of value placed on others. God's love gives us value. If you're in Christ today, you're a son of the one true King. Earlier this year, my wife and I got a chance to go to a Matthew West concert, and some of you guys would be familiar with that song. The chorus of one of his songs that gets a lot of radio play is, "Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, and I've been set free. Amazing Grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King." That gives value. You have been brought into God's family because he loved first, not because of anything you did. God's act of love showed us what we are worth to him. See, in God's eyes, and this is tough for me to take in, and I imagine it'd be tough for any of us to take in if you have any, just an ounce of humility. In God's eyes, you are worth his only son. You are worth him giving his only son. That's the value you have in God's mind. That's how important it was for God to have a relationship with you. It was so important that he gave his only son. And that's what we reflect on during this Christmas season, that Jesus came to earth, but we can't separate that. We can't divorce that from the cross. The manger and the cross are together. God loved the world. He sent his son. That's how much value you have in God's eyes. That's how much God decided that you were worth when he loved first. Love shares a view of value placed on others. Love isn't someone earning value. Love isn't someone deserving value. Love is giving value. Any of us, our spouse, our children, our mom and our dad, our friends, our neighbors, anyone that we love, we don't love because they've done something to earn it or deserve it. And if that's what your definition of love is, that's not the definition of what love is. No, why do we love? We love because we give value, not because they have value. They have value because we've given it to them in our eyes, in our mind. Just the same way that God has given us value. God loved first. Love determines worth, not merit, not someone's personal rank or status. It's love that determines someone's worth. His act of love showed us what we are worth to him. His act of love shares us that his view of our value, the value that he has placed on us. Love is why God sent Jesus. But it was obedience that fulfilled that mission of love. Philippians 2 talks about how Jesus humbled himself and came to earth. It says he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let's write this down. Love involves obedience and discipline. Love involves obedience and discipline. Obedience took Jesus to the cross. Love brought him to earth. We've read that verse. We've heard that verse and we've read that verse together, John 3:16. God so loved the world, gave his only son. That was the love mission. But it was obedience that fulfilled that love mission, was it not? It was Jesus' obedience to the Father to act in love. The two go together. God loved the world, he sent his son, and Jesus' discipline, Jesus' obedience, made that mission happen. That's how he completed the mission ahead of him. That's how he completed the task that God set out for him in love. But the only way it happened was through obedience and discipline. Jesus laid his life down. It wasn't taken from him. He sacrificed. He laid it down. That's powerful. God wanted us to see how far he would go for us. How much value we have in his eyes. How important we are to him. How meaningful it is for him to have a relationship with us. He wanted us to see that it was worth his only son. God knew that love was only really revealed, that love was only really shown through actions. Let's write this down. Love is not realized without action involved. God showed us that he loved us. And beyond that, more action is involved. God pursues a relationship with us, every one of us, every one of you here. God is pursuing a relationship with you actively right now, today. And that's what the manger was all about. That's what Jesus coming to earth was all about. That God loved first, he struck first, he went first, he acted first, he decided first, he chose first. All that, he was first. To create value, to show you what you mean to him, to show you that there's nothing that he won't do for you. He even went to the level of sending his only son and sacrificing him on the cross. A story that all of us living in here in America are familiar with, but sometimes we hear it so much that we become callous to it. Let that fall on a soft heart this morning. Let that fall on a hungry soul this morning. That God loved you so much that he gave his son for you. It was Jesus' obedience and discipline that took him to the cross to finish the task. And all of this because God knows that love is not realized without action involved. God showed us he loved us. God pursues a relationship with us. Read a couple verses that won't be on the screen so you have a little more time to continue writing. See, God loved first. But that's not the end of the story at all. Ephesians, Paul writes, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. You're a child of the one true king. Now act like him. Now walk in his ways and walk in the ways of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As recipients of the Father's love, we follow God's example. That's what we do. We walk in his ways, and his ways are love. And that requires obedience. That requires discipline. The same qualities that took Jesus to the cross as a fragrant offering, as Paul writes in Ephesians. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have what? Love. I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. You know, you can do all sorts of things for the kingdom. Great things, powerful things, mighty things, things that help other people, things that make big differences. Well, Paul's point here is if you miss the core of it, if you miss out on love, you're really missing all of it. You have nothing. Galatians 5, he simply says, very simple, in the second half of verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through what? Love. And was it not Jesus himself who said, When he was asked about the greatest commandment, he says, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is like this, or the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. I remember when I first came across the passage, and I've shared my story, and I don't have time for it today, but when I first came across the passage in the Bible where I was like, you know what, I'm ready to give my life to God. Now what? It was the next page in this in my office. If you're ever in my office, and up there on the shelf, I've got the Bible that I was reading at that time open to these pages, and you can see the highlights from 1991, faded but still there on the pages, that New Living Translation. And I had read about Jesus in the coin, and I was like, I'm ready to give my life to God. I'm ready to give to God what belongs to God, and now what? And this passage in Matthew, the same passage that's here in Mark, is what I read next. And I said, man, I can do that. I can love. Love's not complicated. Love's simple. I can do that. And so here I am. Here I am, because that was God's mission. And I said, I can do that. I can be involved in that. I can join him in that. 1 John chapter 4:19 says, we love because what? He first loved us. So our second half of the notes reflect and mirror the first half of our notes. He loved first, but that's not the end of the story. The story continues with us. We love because he loved first. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that Christ's love compels us. His love compels us. His love moves us. His love inspires us. We are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died for them and was raised again. And it's just verses down from this passage we just read that Paul talks about how Christians, those who have a relationship with God, those who have been reconciled to God, we are now responsible for that ministry of reconciliation, that message of love, that message of grace, that message of mercy, that we are now ambassadors of Christ. That's where it shows up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The birth story of Jesus is a story of God's love for mankind, but those of us who have experienced that love story and the whole story, not just the nativity scene, not just the manger, but we've experienced the manger. We've experienced the amazing Jesus giving us value and teaching and instructions and watching all the things he did. We've experienced Jesus on the cross dying for our sins. We've experienced Jesus raising from the dead. Amen. We've experienced not only that, but we've experienced Jesus going and sitting in heaven to the right-hand side of God. Is this intermission? I haven't even gone very long yet at all. It's not even 11 o'clock. We've experienced all of that. From the manger to the cross to Jesus being seated at the right hand of God in supreme authority. King of kings. We've been reading through our devotion, right? Yeah? King of kings. Lord of lords. Those were 2 days you've done in the last few weeks. And we follow his example of love. And so we mirror. We look at how he loved. He loved first. So we mirror that, and we understand that his love for us gave us value, so we understand what? That we can give value to others. Let's write this down. Place value on others and share that through what? Love. It is a fact that we know because we've experienced it. We have felt it, we have lived it, we have seen it, we have witnessed it, that love gives value. Love defines a person's worth. Not who they are. Not where they are in life. Not their social or their economic status. Just like we did not earn God's love for us, he loved first. So we should follow that example and we should love first. Our love is not reactionary. About anything I've noticed in life, aside from maybe avoiding a car accident, is not, if you're acting on reactions, it's not the best place to be. You really want to be proactive. You want to be moving first. You want to strike first. You want to move first. You want to be the first to make the thought, the decision, whatever it is that's involved. If you're first there, then you're in control of what's going on, or at least as much as you can be. So our love, church, should not be reactionary. At all. Our love is a decision first. Our love is our action, period. It's not a reaction. We love first because that's how God loved us. Our love, like God's love, is not given out of merit. That's not how we give love, church. The worth of those around us come from a decision in our head to give them worth. To give them value. And man, oh man, you can give so much value through simply loving people. That's powerful. You have got a powerful ability to bring worth and bring value in a world that tears people down constantly. That's what advertisement's all based on, isn't it? We got some people here in marketing, right? That's what they do. Pay attention to advertisements. You're not as great as you could be unless you had our product, right? You're really ugly, but we can make you pretty. You're really fat, but if you wear our black clothes lines, you know, whatever. It's all negative, negative, negative. It's tear down, devalue, devalue. Church, we have the power to counter that, to go against that. Why are we not? I mean, we are empowered with love, a simple concept that can counter all of the negative that's going on around us, to bring value, to bring worth to other people's lives, and you can do that, you can bring that, because the power of the cross gives us an example of what that looks like. See, when we think about the cross and we connect that to love, then we have to understand that love and deciding to love people, it doesn't happen naturally. Just like obedience and discipline took Jesus to the cross, it requires obedience and discipline for us to love. I believe that's our next note. Let's go and write that down. Show love by discipline and obedience. It's what took Jesus to the cross, correct? So we're told, in fact, that passage, if you go back and you read it again and you get the full context of it, the passage I read to you earlier from Philippians chapter 2. That whole passage is about, hey, you need to act like Jesus did. Here's what Jesus did. He humbled himself and he came and he was obedient to the point of death on the cross. He was obedient to the Father. And Paul says in Philippians, this is how you need to live. So we need to understand that because love is not easy at all. It's simple. Praise God, it's simple because I'm pretty simple sometimes. I like that, but it doesn't mean it's easy. Love is not easy at all. It takes effort. Let me encourage you this morning, church. It's worth it. It is worth it. Even if you don't get anything back, you're giving. You're giving value. You're giving worth. You're giving intangibles that they can't get anywhere else. You can't buy that. You can't find that on Amazon and get it here before December 25th. But you have it. You have it and you can take it because you have the example because God loved first. And we love because he loved first. That's what we do, church. It will take you out of your comfort zone sometimes to love that way. And it should. In fact, if you're not being taken out of your comfort zone, then I would be a little concerned. Because obedience and discipline and following God's mission, following God's path for you, it's going to take you into places that you're uncomfortable. So if you're comfortable this morning, you need to be talking with God. Because we need to be encouraged to step out, to follow, to be obedient, to use discipline as we reach out and we love others. We are His ambassadors. Let's write this down. We lead by example for others. Jesus said that if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. We lead by example. That is at least the second siren I've heard. Fifth, actually, okay, I've been focused here. Let's pause just a moment. Can we just have a moment of silent prayer for whatever's going on out there? Father, we ask that you be with whatever it is that's going on, that you be with those that are in an emergency situation, that you be with all those responders that are going out, that you'd keep them safe. Father, we ask that they'd be able to see you act and move, and that there'd be some eyebrows raised because your people asked for you to be involved and you stepped in. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Actually, thank you, Father. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So we lead by example. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. We lead by example. We follow God as his children. That's what we do. We follow God as his children. And we imitate him. We walk in his love. We walk in the ways of his love. We speak his words. And that doesn't just happen. That takes discipline. That takes obedience. That takes effort. That takes a concentrated decision. That's something that happens in the will. Discipline and obedience are needed to show love through deliberate actions towards others. Let's write that down. We lead by example. We show love by discipline and obedience. We live by example. We obey God's commandments. And we have deliberate actions towards others. Actions of service. Just what some of these little guys up here, little guys, they're not so little anymore. So my oldest is past my wife, and he's on his way to me, and then he'll pass Papaw, and then he'll just be the tallest in our whole family. But they hit the nail on the head, didn't they? That our actions are actions of service. That's how you can show love to people. Deliberate actions towards others. Actions of service. Actions of encouragement. Actions that build up and empower. And those actions don't just happen. They take place because you have had discipline and obedience. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't always come naturally. But if we're going to love, we have to love intentionally. We have to love with deliberate actions of love. To actively invest. That's our fourth core value here at Miami Town Church of Christ. You can check those out on our website. We have a little slip of paper out there. In fact, I need to replenish the trifold. But we do have the half sheet still available, or at least it was last time I looked. Actively investing, our fourth core value. Taking personal responsibility, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. To connect with people, our fifth core value. Connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. And that kind of love involved in those core values, that takes discipline, that takes obedience, that takes deliberate actions of love. Conscious thoughts, planning it, thinking it through, just like God loved us. That's how God loved first. He chose us before the beginning of the world. He had a plan. And Jesus, it took discipline and obedience to make that plan happen. And through that, God made his love visible to us. We realized his love through his actions. And that's exactly what happens with us when we make our love known, God's love in us. We make love known. That's our next note. Going to take these down. We make our love known through actions. That's how people see love. That's how people, it's an intangible. And I think it's 1 John somewhere where God says, where John says, so it's the Holy Spirit speaking through John, so ultimately God. But He says that no one's seen the Father. But if we love, they see the Father through our love. And that's what happens. Make our love known through actions. We reach out to others. We have three focus groups going on right now as a continuation of our renewing the focus, a process we've been involved in years here at this church, just really picking things up, moving forward, and making some plans. And one of our three focus groups is tasked on to follow this dream, and that is increased involvement, volunteering, and partnership with organizations that offer assistance and service to those in need. So we want to reach out. We want to reach out to others. And we've got a focus group that's focusing and thinking and dreaming about ways that we can reach out. To have a focused, intentional, deliberate action plan here. Ministries that will connect with the needs that we've discovered through the demographic study. We did a demographic study in the very beginning of this process. And we learned about what some of the people in our area are in need of. You know, some of the people around us, they are, according to the demographics, they're interested in their career and their future. And one of the dream suggestions that we had that came out of our dream time was that suggestions of maybe having classes to help people to interview. To let them have some mock interviews and practice so they can step up and move into better jobs. Or maybe some classes on how to write resumes. Now, those dreams didn't make it to our top three, but that doesn't mean that they weren't great dreams. They were great dreams, and they identified some challenges, some things, some needs that people have in our surrounding area. So we don't need to just nix those because they weren't top three. They need to be part of our plan going forward after our three-year plan is accomplished. So we can't file those away. It's definitely something that we'll be looking at down the road. We have people around us that are interested. And in this demographic, this showed up. They were interested in help and in parenting. They were interested in healthy marriages. They were interested in handling their finances wisely. All of these are subjects that the church can help out with, correct? Because God's word says a lot about those things. And so we can help out on those things. And once again, that didn't make it into our top three of the things that we're attacking in the first 3 years. And this was something that was a whole church thing. It wasn't leadership. Everyone in the church said, here's what we want to be involved in. And we looked at the things that showed up. The top three were some of these other areas. But these areas are definitely some things that we need to step forward in eventually. Because there are areas that around us, we know that people are interested in having healthy marriages, and we can do some things to bolster that, can't we? We can. We can do some awesome stuff there because God's word says a lot of things about healthy marriages. And we've got a lot of healthy marriages here that have been through the trenches. No amens. I was telling my wife the other day that I remember some speaker, he said, I've been happily married for 20 years. We won't talk about the other five. So... Well, you know, there's a lot of truth, but we've got marriages that have stood the test of time here. And there's a lot of health that goes into that to make that happen, dedication, devotion. You know, another part of our demographic found out that people around us were concerned about their physical health. That was a top concern of those around us. They were concerned about eating right, exercising. They were concerned about ways to... be able to schedule downtime and rest and recovery in their schedule. And again, that didn't make our three-year vision of the top three. But that doesn't mean that it's not still a need in our surrounding community. Still a desire, still something that they are wanting to connect with. So we connect with people. And when we connect with them through all these different areas, that we've got a lot of options to move forward after we look at these first three things, and we've got a lot of options to look forward to in a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. And we can find all sorts of ways to connect to the people around us. And when we make connections with people, we connect with people, core value number 5. Then we can invest in people, core value number 4. Then we can grow God's kingdom, core value number 3. We can grow in God and invest in people. That's our mission statement. And the core of that is connecting with people, finding out what's going to connect with them, and we connect with them. Let me share with you two God stories here. And I think you're going to be really encouraged by them. I am excited about them, and they're God stories about some things that are happening here at Miami Town. First God story involves me. So many of you guys know that years ago I started into martial arts, into Taekwondo. Within a couple of years, I had gotten my black belt, and then soon after that, I received teaching credentials from the alliance, the board that oversees all the schools that our school's underneath. And so I quickly had an instructor patch on my uniform, and have been teaching for, 7 years now. So anytime my instructor needed to take a day off, then I'd just cover classes. Sometimes he would go away for a few weeks or even a month or so on some details that he had for different jobs. And then he would have me come in and teach for that whole month of classes and just kind of cover things while he was gone. So about a year and a half ago, I started getting some things going on in my hip. And I was pretty sure it was coming from a disease that we all eventually get, that getting old disease. And it just wasn't working like it should, you know. And so I kind of babied it for a little bit, and it still didn't help any. And so I thought, well, it's time to go to the doctor. So I went to the orthopedic, and he did an x-ray, and then later we did an MRI. But it was after the x-ray, he said, it's not your hip. And I was like, no, it is my hip. I feel it. I know it's my hip. When I do a tornado roundhouse or 360 kick, you know, and I land on that leg, it just collapses. I know it's the hip because that's what hurts, and then I'm limping for 24 hours afterwards. He said, no, it's not your hip, it's your back. He said, you've got degenerative disc disease, and they did MRI to confirm it. And he said, that leg collapsing, he said, what you're doing is you are shutting your leg off when you're doing these 360 kicks, and when you landed. And it took 24 hours for your leg to neurologically kind of reboot. And I was like, oh, that's probably not good. And he's like, no, it's not good at all. And I started exploring this with the doctors in January. And so I was 6 months, you know, January to June, not doing any Taekwondo. And by the time we got to June, we finally had a plan together. I've got a couple of different doctors that I had working with because I've got other physical things. You don't want to know anything about that. But so I had to make sure all my doctors were all together on things because I wanted a plan that was going to involve everybody. And so we were just about ready to start therapy, and my instructor calls me, and he says, hey, are you ever coming back to class? And I said, I haven't had that conversation with my doctor yet. And he said, well, here's why I ask. He said, I've got to take a two-week detail down in Louisville, and I need you to teach class. So I went back to my doctor, the doctor that was taking the lead on my treatment, and I said, hey, can I do this for 2 months, and we'll just postpone therapy? And he said, yeah. He said, but none of the spinning. And he had some martial arts in his background, so he's like, not even a roundhouse. You know, so now I'm just labeled to just a front snap kick. You know, I can't do it. So, but I started learning, so I said, okay. So I taught for 2 months. And when I'd go too far with something, I would turn a toe off, or I turned my heel off one day. That's a really weird feeling. It just, psh, and it's not tingly. It's just, psh, it's just like it doesn't exist on my foot anymore. And so I learned to do things a little slower and not put a snap at the end, and kind of work through that. Well, the 2 months turned into 3 months, and during that time, Master Beckman started talking with me, and he said, "Hey, this looks like a really good opportunity for me and my family. Would you take the school if I went to Louisville?" I said, I don't know. Let me pray about that. And so that was August. I went to our elders in September, and I said, guys, here's what I'm looking at. Is this something you guys would be able to get behind? You know, I don't want to do something that would be against your wishes or something that would be, you know, add conflict to our church or anything. And we talked about it for months. So then in November, I gave my decision. And I told him there's a couple different things that would be part of it. Is one that, the other things don't matter to you. This is the one that does matter to you. Harrison Taekwondo has been an outreach of the Harrison Church of the Nazarene. That's why I started going to it. It's a Christian organization. And so every day we have classes, I get a chance to share in a devotion. We have a devotion every class. And so on Wednesdays and Fridays, I get a chance to share God's word with people who might not come to church, but they'll come to a martial arts class. Yeah? And so I told Master Beckman, I said, well, you know, I nothing against your church, but if I'm going to take it over, I don't want to be juggling different things. I'd like to make it an outreach of Miami Town Church of Christ. And he was cool with that. And Brian, the minister at the Church of Nazarene, was cool with that. And so when I said yes in November, that meant that we were going to be able to bring that ministry here. And my goal is to have it in our building so that 2 days a week, about 5 hours each week, we're going to have an opportunity to reach out. And this wasn't in our top three. And I get that, but this was all a God thing. I couldn't say, sorry, Mr. Beckman, Master Beckman, it's not in our top three. But this fits a demographic need in our area. People are very interested in physical fitness. They're very interested in being healthy. And this could open the door to other things here at this church. So I'm very excited. This has been a God movement, and God can take care of my back. He can do that. I've been praying about that. In the midst of all this praying, I've been like, you know what, God? You can heal my back, or at least you can help me to be wise enough to not do things that would hurt it worse. So, I've been pretty good. I haven't turned anything off in a while. So that's really, really cool news for us. And so starting January 1st, I will no longer be the assistant instructor. I will be the school owner of Harrison Taekwondo, and I don't know what it means for the name because it's not going to be in Harrison anymore. So we got some things to look at. But that's a really cool thing. That's an open door starting into 2020 of some things that we can do to invite people in, to bring people in, to make connections with people. To invest in people. Those are two of our core values. If it didn't fit in our core values, there would have been no reason at all to even go to our elders with it. But it absolutely fits in our core values. This is a way to connect with people, to make real relationships. Anybody that's here that's been involved in martial arts, you know, you make real relationships when you're throwing people around. You know, when you sweat on each other, when you get your blood on someone else, you're making a real relationship. One way or the other. But in class, it's a good way. In class, it's good. And you're investing in people. You're getting one-on-one. You're getting to know them. You're getting to invest in them. And I tell you what, there are things that happen outside of the classroom setting that are awesome things. And martial arts opens the door for a lot of biblical teaching. Everything I teach when I'm doing a devotional thought, there's almost every time I can connect that to something in martial arts. We talk about our foundations. We went through a series on foundations. Our stances are very important, and I harp on that. They know if they're gonna get Mr. Delafield, he's gonna be watching my stances. Because you know, the stances that from the belt down, that has to be right. Otherwise, what you do up from the belt up, it doesn't matter if you don't have a foundation. And that teaches, that preaches, right? So this is a really, really good opportunity for us. I know where's Jan. Jan is here. We were talking when Dawn was in surgery, and she was talking to me about your grandson, right? And she was like, martial arts has just been, and you didn't know, Master Beckman had already talked to me about this, and I had been praying about it, and you had that conversation with me, and I was like, wow, Jan gets it. So it's not just me. She sees that martial arts has been really good for her grandson. He goes to a different school, but she's like, it's made a world of difference in this little guy. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. Jim knows. He's one of our students there. So that's one God story. I think that's pretty stinking awesome that God's opening some doors. The other one started back in May of this year. We put together a search team, and we put out an ad in a bunch of different places looking for a new youth minister, a student minister that would cover youth and children's. And so we had a great search team put together. They worked real hard at it. We talked to a number of different individuals. We had a lot of screening interviews to begin with. And then there was actually one that rose to the top. And in the midst of that, I had someone else call me, a gentleman from Arizona. And he said, hey, I'm 41 and I'm single. Would you guys have a problem? Because I would like to apply. And I said, you know what? In the conversations with the elders, that's never come up, being married or single or age. And in the search team, that's never come up. I said, so go on and send your resume on in. And I hung up with him, and I'm thinking, you know what? Paul wasn't married. Jesus, I mean, if we're going to say you got to be married, then we wouldn't hire Jesus. You know, so he sent his resume in, and we had already done some of the screening with everyone else. And we're like, all right, we'll fit this one guy in here, you know. And we met with him, and we were like, oh, man, this is, now we have two good candidates. So then we had second interviews with both of them, and we said, you know what? We're gonna give both of these candidates to the elders because they're both good. They both would fit here well. And so then I transferred from the search team over to the elders, and so myself and the elders interviewed both of these guys. Oh, and I forgot about one other part. In one of the first two interviews with this guy, I know one of our, I can point a finger here, so I don't want to throw you under the bus, Jim, so if it goes bad, then it's all on you. But Jim had written on his paper, sold. And it was that the first day? That was the first time he said sold. He said, this is the one for sure. And then Sherry spoke up, and I don't want to throw you. Sherry spoke up and she said, I got a reservation about him. We were like, oh, what? Because we were all super impressed with him. She said, he answers everything right. And that makes me feel uncomfortable because he has all the right answers. And I said, wait a minute. So the one thing, the only thing you can find fault with is that he has all the right answers. Yeah, but that just makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't know why. It just, you know, just makes me feel cautious. Okay, well, that's good to know. So when we went into the elders meeting, the elders interviews, we did some things to purposefully throw him off his game, to make him, so he wouldn't be able to have a thought through answer. You know, and that says something about an individual also, that if you throw any question at him, he's already thought through an answer. So that shows, you know. But we purposefully put him in some positions where he couldn't have thought through some things. And he still came out on top. He still came out with some really, really good answers and different things there. Oh, goodness, there's another piece of this story that I have in my notes, but I'm not in front of my notes right now. Another question that Jim asked every one of the candidates was, he said, do you feel like God's given you a mission in life? And all the rest of the candidates, they thought for a minute on that. You know, you saw their eyes kind of go up a little bit, you know. And then they gave an answer, and, you know, various levels of answers there that came out of that. But this individual, when Jim asked him that question, he didn't even blink. He said, yes, youth. He said, youth, that's what God has called me to. And we were all like, whoa. It was with passion and conviction. And then he went on to tell stories. He said, you know, I've had people tell me, you know, David, you're not getting any younger. Maybe it's time to pursue an adult ministry. And his comment back was, no, God has called me to youth. That's where my passion is. That's where that lies. And so so after the elders interview, it was clear which one of these two was going to be the best fit. So a few weeks ago, we had him here in church. And some of you guys might have seen a visitor and wondered, who is this young-ish guy, young for a lot of us here. We wanted to give him an anonymous, or as anonymous as he could, to visit here and just kind of see what church was like from a guest perspective, because you only get that visit once, especially as a staff member. But that Sunday, that weekend, he got a chance to meet with all of our children's and youth workers. Were given an invitation to come and meet with him, so they got a chance to talk with him and pick his brain and work through things. And he taught a Sunday school lesson to our children, and our kids came back. My son came in, and I was reading through my sermon notes, and he came in after that Sunday school lesson, and he said, "Mom, David's awesome." And I was like, that feels good to hear, because I didn't even ask him. He came up. And then later, we were in front of Riley. And Riley says, David is awesome. And then I went, they both said the same thing. So then I went to David and I said, David, did you tell them to tell us that you were awesome? He said, no, I didn't. And then, of course, the barn trekker said, no, our kids would have said he's awesome and he told us to tell you he was awesome. And then he told us not to tell you that he told us to tell you. So he would have been busted there. So but it wasn't just a couple of the kids. I found out after talking to the different kids, all of the children that sat in on that Sunday school lesson liked him and connected with him. And not only that, Jim, who was part of the search team, Jim got fully invested in this. Jim snuck himself into a closet. And he became a 200-and-some-pound, 6-foot what? 6-foot something. 6-foot-3 ninja. And Jim hid in a closet the whole lesson to spy on David and listen to the lesson. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's commitment. That's being involved. And he came out and he said, David's awesome. So I don't know what he was putting in the Kool-Aid, but apparently, you know what? We all felt really good about him and felt like God was leading us here. Elders, search team, kids, everything. In fact, I meant to do a scan a copy. The kids had written down like months and months, like early in this year, written down a list of the things they wanted. And when you look at this list, it's David. It's really cool. And so a couple weeks ago, we offered him a week from Thursday. We sat down with him. The elders offered him the job. And he said, let me pray about it. And then when I took him to the airport, he said, well, you know what my answer is going to be. He said, but I at least want to give it a couple days to, you know, make sure. So he called me on Monday. And he said, my last Sunday down here will be January 5th. I plan to be up there with you guys January 12th. Is that awesome news? Yeah. So listen. God is moving. Amen. I think we've been a little impatient. Because it's taken forever to get where we're at, but it's God's timing. Amen? God knows what our community needs. He's bringing a Taekwondo school right here. We have a youth minister coming in the beginning of the year. Who knows what else 2020 is going to bring? I've been thinking about 2020 and that being a year of vision, because that's, you know, 2020. Your vision's corrected. We've been talking about renewing our vision. 2020 is going to be the year our vision has been renewed. Amen? And we're going to be moving forward, and we're going to see God do some awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. And I got a little long-winded on some of that because I'm super excited about it. I think there was something I was going to end with. We have one more note that gets next with that. So we want to invite, and we want to involve. That's another way we can show love. We can invite and include. Sorry, invite and include others. So now, if our youth situation has been something that's been holding you up from inviting a young family, you don't need to be held up anymore. This guy's going to come in. He's older, which means he's got some experience. He's got some gusto. He's going to be patient. He knows how churches work. I was a little concerned if we would have gotten a young whippersnapper, because our church is still working through some things. We're still figuring out how to get the wheels moving. And it's not going to be a boom and things are happening. It's going to be years yet. God might have something else in plan. I think it all depends on how willing we are to go along with God's plan. That's really, we're the only ones that hold it up. And that's just truth. That's just honest. So we've got some cool things happening. We've got some areas that you can invite people to. We can invest in people by inviting them. We can show love to them by including them. So that's what God did with us. He invited us. He included us. I want to read this. And this was Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. And I want you to hear this prayer and just imagine that Paul's praying this for us. Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for all the good news that you have brought to us here at Miami Town. We thank you for the good news of your son, Jesus, coming to earth. Father, I thank you that you loved us first. I pray that we would respond to your love, that we would be proactive with our love, that we would go and we would love because you love first, that we would go and we would show value to other people, that we would understand it's going to take discipline and it's going to take effort and commitment and obedience, and that we would realize that for your love to be realized, our love has to be active. Our love has to involve action. Help us, Father, as we grow and we move forward. I'm excited that you have been moving and doing things here for Miamitown. Some things that were a little out of my timeline, but they were in your timeline. So I praise you for that. And I know you're going to handle all the variables. You're going to handle all the unknowns. We just walk by faith and we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.